Kia ora, my name's Violet French and Hunter and I today are going to be talking about self-titled Me and My Band, Violet French and the Horrible.
Talk me through your music history. What bands were you in before you started playing and releasing music under Violet French?
I started sort of playing guitar seriously as a teenager, and I'm from Dunedin originally. I moved up to Ototahi about 10 years ago, which is absolutely crazy. The week after I finished university, I moved up here and sort of fell into performing live and fell into being friends with the rock and roll boys and fell into being in bands with them as well.
This EP compiles some singles from the last year or two, so it's definitely been a while coming. How long have you been working on these songs exactly though?
I have been around for a while. It's kind of funny, I've thought about it a bit, and to get to this point has taken like 10 years, which is absolutely wild. There's definitely been a couple of discarded Violet French releases lost to the ether, so maybe some diehard fans might have bits lying around somewhere, but these songs in particular were definitely all like the classic lockdown album thing. And I have been suffering from a bit of writer's block, and yeah, just having that time to sit down and dedicate my patience and my frustrations and everything that was going on just happened during lockdown. So these songs are a couple of years old, but you know, getting the recording done and getting photos done and just getting everything lined up has kind of taken the best part of a year.
And how does it feel to have them all out in the world now?
Honestly, it's wild. It's the most amazing feeling. It kind of doesn't feel like it's mine. I mean, I know it is, and I take so much pride in it, and I don't know if that's a bit cringy or not, but it's something that I really enjoy, and I am feeling really comfortable and confident with. And for me, that's a huge thing. That's such a change from, you know, being in a band or, you know, being a solo artist. It's something that I know I've got people that really, really back me and believe in me. Yeah. It's amazing. I love it. I'm so, so happy.
There's such a great group of musicians behind you and this release. Run me through who helped out on the EP.
The Horrible. A revolving cast of some of my dearest friends and people that I've played in bands with as well. So the core group is me, Jamie Stratton, Jonty O'Connor and Luke Towett. And we sometimes feature Mikey Summerfield and Thomas Abista. And I sort of built up friendships and musical alliances, I suppose, with Jamie and Luke when we all played together in Kool-Aid, which is something that we did for about 3-4 years, maybe even 5. That was a really fun band, and we sort of went from it being Jamie's music that he'd written into something that became more of a collaborative thing. And that was really, really fun. And Jamie and I have played in other bands as well. When this batch of songs were kind of new, I enlisted Luke to sort of play guitar with me, and we did it as a bit of a two-piece. But having played in other bands with Jamie and he played bass, I knew that I wanted him to be that backbone, and I knew that I wanted a different flavour of drumming to what I'd had in other bands. And I ran into Jonty at the pub and I just said, "I want you, will you do this?" And he's like, "Hell yeah, I will, I love playing music." Thomas fits in because he filled in for Jonty on a gig, a really, really awesome gig, but he also has such a great ear, and he's just like, "Hey, do you want some synths or do you want some keys? Do you want some something?" And he played a couple of gigs with us doing percussion and doing synth. And he put his hand up to add some extra texture to the EP.
And how did you get looped in with Melted Ice Cream?
So Brian is one of the first people I met when I moved to Christchurch. I might have even met him before I moved up here. And I ended up living with him in London Street, which kind of was the Melted Ice Cream HQ for several years. So yeah, Brian and I have been friends for 10 years, which is crazy to think about. And I'd always loved the bands that were on the roster. I had always loved the live shows, loved the fact that they did tapes and that whole format and just the ethos behind the label. I just loved it, and I've always wanted to be part of that.
Let's get into the tracks now, starting with Been Too Busy Crying. Was there a reason you picked this to be the opening track on the EP?
It's just a silly pop hook. It's got that sort of catchiness to it. It's got a little bit of swing to it. And the song itself is meant to be a bit silly. It's meant to be sort of poking fun at myself, and poking fun at that mindset of misery and wallowing in it. But yeah, I think just it's sort of this kind of upbeat song about being horrifically sad. And I kind of like something about the dichotomy of that. Recorded, I feel like they have been reimagined or taken on a new life. They've sort of grown alongside me and alongside us as a band. So I really love how Pop 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 just absolutely slaps. I love Luke's solo on it. I love Jonty's really, really snappy playing. I love how it goes from something that's a little bit dark and mysterious and a bit sideways into something that absolutely charges ahead, balls to the wall. I really, really love that. I love listening to it. It just makes me jump up and down every time we play it. I can't help but dive in and get involved with it. So it's a really cool feeling. It's really energizing.
Lobby, a river flows free, is she?
Dutch indie is from a couple of places. It's sort of from an in-joke within the group chat, and we somehow got home at about 3 a.m, and we had a friend sober driving us from Littleton, and we went around this massive roundabout, and I think I had The Clean playing on the car stereo, and Laura just said, your indie is making me sick, and she sort of power chucked across the back of the car, and we had to pull over into a bush, and she kind of did a big spew out the window. So it sort of comes from those two places. It comes from, you know, too much indie making my friend sick, and also, you know, just chat about, you know, the indie scene or the hip scene or the cool scene or the music scene in general, and kind of taking the piss out of ourselves. Yeah, it's taken on a slightly mysterious, maybe slightly more mysterious thing with Luke's amazing sort of lead line on that. But it really nails home the sort of the carnival aspect of it, the nonsense aspect of it, just having that 3-4 nailed home again with a rhythm section. And it was meant to be something that was a little bit swirly and a little bit discombobulating and, again, quite silly. I mean, all of these songs have a real sort of introspective kind of bent to them where I'm really sort of taking a step back and looking and analysing my behaviours and analysing the conversations that I'm having with people or have had with people about really insignificant things that seem like the end of the world at the time. So it's kind of cool to get it across with that kind of old school circus sound or feeling, something a little bit sickening. Massive story behind Unchecked Baggage, because this is the one that I feel probably most sort of exposed or sort of uncertain about, because it's a bit more sparse. Yeah, so this one, when these songs were written, obviously it was lockdown and everyone was in a really strange space. I had been in a really strange space before lockdown and had sort of been reflecting on everything. I was reflecting on some people around me who I really care about or cared about at the time, and reflecting on the things that really have haunted them in their lives, and reflected on the things that haunt me in my life, and just sort of going, wow, like, this is insane, you know, and sort of becoming aware of people carrying their past with them, and becoming aware of how that influences me, both with my past and with other people's past, and being maybe too empathetic or being too unempathetic, and reaching a frustration point because there's nothing you can do about someone else's sadness or someone else's trauma or someone else's baggage or whatever, but you can work on yourself, and that's really hard, and it gets to that frustration point. Again, just that reflection of the self, and snippets of conversations from various people, and sort of looking at, I mean, the crux of it is, you know, looking at yourself having a tantrum or having a sulk or having a negative reaction to something. That's what that whole thing was. It ended up at the end of the EP because I felt like we needed something upbeat to sort of finish on, and the way that song ends now, it really does just have that groove and that drive, and it leaves people just feeling kind of knackered and wonderful, because you can't help but dance and enjoy it, and you know, it just brings the energy back up after it slows down throughout the EP with Too Much Indie and Unchecked Baggage. So that was the purpose of it being at the end, and it kind of just, there's something kind of neat about having been too busy crying and want the sky to be crying at the end and at the front. Yeah, it's like a nice little bookend, I suppose. I want the sky to be